Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. We're going to be talking today about a part of the world that is moving forward with such speed, it's difficult for most of us to even conceptualize or keep up with what's happening. What is the name of that country? Well, you've already heard about it. It's China. And we have with us today Rebecca A. Fannin, who is an international traveler. She has been very much involved with China for a long time. Rebecca, welcome to the show. Hello, Rebecca. I know we've got an international line. Rebecca, can you hear me? We're having a few technical difficulties. While we're waiting to get it cleared up, let me just say that she's the international editor of the Hong Kong Weekly Asian Venture Capital Journal, and she's the former international news editor at the Red Herring. And since 1992, this is a woman that's been very much involved in innovation, technology, and the emerging economies in Hong Kong, Bangalore, Singapore, Beijing, Shanghai, and many other major cities around the world. Alisa, do we have Rebecca? Hi, this is Donna. We have a telephone connection with Hong Kong, and we're experiencing some interference. So while we are going through the technical adjustment that we have to go through, I'm going to be chatting with you for just a moment. We talk about how China's winning the technical race. With us in the United States, so many times because we're so busy in our lives, we're not always aware of other parts of the world that are catching up. And China is doing that, and it's doing it at a phenomenal rate. We are going to be talking with Rebecca about exclusive interviews that she was able to get with 12 top Chinese entrepreneurs and the investors that are backing them. And interestingly, many of those investors are U.S. investors. When people talk about a global market, that's exactly what's happening. So let's see if we have Rebecca online yet. Hello, Rebecca. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to have a disconnect for just a moment, and then we're going to come right back. I'll be right with you.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Well, we finally got the telephone line to Hong Kong working. Rebecca Fannin, welcome to the show.
Yes. How are you?
Oh, wonderful. It sounds like you're right here next to me in the studio, which is absolutely fabulous. I so apologize for the challenges that we've had with the phone lines, but, hey, you're in Hong Kong.
That's right. It's actually here Saturday morning, and it's dark outside, and it's been an interesting experience.
Now, Rebecca, your book absolutely was gripping as far as I was concerned in the way that you processed and put out information and then these wonderful interviews that you had with these 12 entrepreneurs, and that's exactly what they are, that they're in China. That is quite significant because their very environment was not conducive to that. But you have been involved with this through some very tumultuous periods, and you've seen a lot of changes. And right off the bat in your book, you talk about the Chinese technology revolution is as unstoppable as a locomotive. Today, over 65 Chinese companies trade on NASDAQ and the New York Stock Exchange. And my goodness, the amount of engineers that are coming out of their high-tech institutes. I mean, it's amazing. How is it that you came to have be such a passionate person about the world of technology?
Well, it happened when I was hired in 2000 for Red Herring Magazine, which was the real hot magazine of the whole dot-com boom. So I was based in Silicon Valley, and I had front row seat on all of this technology that was happening at that time. And that's how it got started. But actually, my first trip to Hong Kong was in 1992 when I was editing an international business magazine. And I came to Hong Kong and fell in love with the place.
So that's your home at this time?
It's not my home at this time. I'm here about once a quarter. And I have been coming back fairly regularly over the past 10 years or so.
You bring out some fascinating points about how the amount of patents that the Chinese have been able to put on the international market, it's just going through the roof. They are in the Middle Kingdom of China, the world's largest number of mobile phone users, over 500 million. The second largest number of internet users, 162 million. They have two of the top 10 websites globally, and they account for 24% of the world production of semiconductors. These are awesome numbers, and they're exploding.
That's true. That's one of the reasons I wanted to write this book, is because I saw these trends, and I was there on the front lines right in Beijing and Shanghai and Hong Kong and other cities in China, seeing this tech boom happen, and I saw it really wasn't being covered at all by the media, and I wanted to write a book about these Chinese entrepreneurs and tell their life story.
Now, you say that the Chinese government has a five-year plan currently. Tell us what that is.
Right. Well, every 5 years under the communist system, there is a five-year economic plan, and the latest one calls for technology to be a cornerstone of economic growth. This is very significant. The Chinese government has recognized that technology can be an engine of growth. And they are really pushing this tech boom to happen.
With this, because of the past history of Mao and communist China, the capitalist attitude has been something that has been very, very ugly in the typical thinking of the bureaucratic system that was. Is that still a shadow that is going to have some negative influences on business, or is that shadow diminishing very rapidly with the entrepreneurial talents of those people that are willing to take the high risks?
Right. Well, I think it's coexisting. I think there is this whole entrepreneurial business attitude bubbled up from the surface and is really very strong. There's a lot of momentum behind it, and it is allowing this private enterprise to coexist with a state-owned economy, and it is becoming more and more pronounced. I think this is really only the tip of the iceberg, and we're going to see more and more of these kinds of companies coming out of China.
Tell us about this company, Baidu. It's China's boldest internet. That's what you describe it as. And there is a gentleman that's in charge of this, Robin Lai.
Robin Lee.
Lee, excuse me, I mispronounced that. Now, he was trained in Silicon Valley. Tell us his story and how this has evolved with him.
Right. Well, he is one of these returnees to China, people who were educated in the U.S. and had experience in the U.S., and then they went back to China when they saw China begin to open up around 1998, 1999. So he returned to China in 1999, and what he wanted to do is take what he had seen work as a business model in the U.S. and try that out in China. So he imitated the Google search model and with a partner managed to get this business off the ground. He raised financing from the West and began to ramp up this company slowly but surely using many of the principles that he had learned in Silicon Valley, like giving stock options to employees. This was pretty revolutionary in China at that time.
Yes, it is.
Robin was really one of the pioneers. It was very early. He did this in 1999.
Now, with Google, I know that they have purchased up some of the some of the companies in China. Do you think that his company is going to be up for grabs at any time? Is it public or is it still privately held?
Right. He took the company public in 2005, and it listed on NASDAQ. So here's an example of a Chinese startup that's already listed on NASDAQ, and it's done very well. At one point in November last year, its stock was trading above 400. This has been a real high flyer among the Chinese Internet startups that are now trading on U.S. exchanges. Now, actually, Google invested in Baidu, his company, and I think it was partly a strategic move to figure out what Baidu was doing, and I think that they were interested in buying into Baidu, but then Baidu went public instead, and Google sold its shares in Baidu. So now there's this big race in China among these two search engines, Baidu, the Chinese search engine, and Google is in China. And believe it or not, Baidu is actually winning this race. The market share is much higher than Google's in China. So Google is struggling to change that. They've hired a lot of local engineers and moved their servers from California to China. But this battle continues on.
Well, competition is part of the American culture, and it probably will be a part of theirs. The Chinese have always been innovative. Their history is filled with inventions, and when the Europeans were sitting in the dark, the Chinese were way, way ahead of them on so many levels. This is a very hard-working and a very innovative people. Now,
right.
You've got a woman, DangDang.com, the Amazon Plus of China, Peggy Yu. She's quite a gal.
Yeah, she is.
Tell us about Peggy.
Yeah, well, she, again, is one of these returnees. She's a very intellectually inclined person who got her degree, her MBA, from NYU, New York University, and she was then working on Wall Street. And when China began to reform, she began returning to China herself and looking at the business opportunities there. And it wasn't very long before she started her own business, which was an online book-selling business, a little bit like Amazon. And it's done very well. It's also raised money from the West, and it's ramped up exceedingly well, although there were some struggles along the way. All of these companies that I write about have had struggles. It hasn't been a perfect zero to IPO, but many of them have struggled along the way. And she's one of the survivors, and her company now is the head of Amazon's company in China. So this is another example of a local Chinese company that's done exceedingly well against the American multinationals in the mainland.
Well, I think the Chinese are very loyal to, not always, but would be inclined, due to their cultural environment, if they can support one of their own, that's what they want to do. And when you're an outsider coming in, you're going to have a challenge, whether it's with language. I mean, you know, certain things will be done in Mandarin. There's all kinds of dialects. There's really a challenge to be able to enter into that psychological environment. Have you found that you yourself have gone through major adaptations?
As I covered China as a journalist, you mean?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I found it very easy to get interviews and have access in China, and I was surprised by that. It was refreshing in that I didn't have to deal with as many public relations people who were monitoring calls and making sure that a particular message was getting across. These Chinese startups that I was dealing with and the entrepreneurs that I have been interviewing don't have public relations professionals, so I had direct access to them, which is what every journalist wants, is to have direct access. So I really didn't have to, I didn't have to adapt at all. It was just extremely refreshing to cover this tech boom in China. I never felt that I was restricted in any way.
China, because of the amount of population, is very quickly economically seeing a growth and a development because of this technological boom, because of cell phones. There is a surge in their own economy where it has been very difficult for a lot of people to make a living. One of the areas that they are very quickly becoming aware of that they must pay attention to is dealing with energy. And you have a gentleman, Yang Fengai. Now, you can correct me on that one because I'm not sure that I have the correct pronunciation. But he's involved with incandescent and fluorescent light bulbs with energy savings of more than 50%. I mean, this was quite amazing when I read this. Tell us about this man and what he's doing that is just going to have an incredible impact internationally.
Right, right. This, again, is another startup. It's from Nanchang, which is in southeastern China. And this fellow, he's kind of a mad scientist. He started working on this research at a university lab back about 10, 15 years ago. So this company is an outgrowth of his R&D in the lab. And he has managed to get the attention of some of the most prominent investors from the West and from Europe behind him. And he's raised a significant amount of money to take what he had developed in the lab and commercialize that. So I was out to visit not only his lab, where I was able to go through the lab and see things, but also I went to his production facility, this brand new, huge plant, even with dormitories for the workers, outside of Nanchang, on the outskirts. And it was very interesting that right next to the plant there were these cows grazing in the field. So this is all really brand new. And this is one of these companies that benefited from government grants and government tax incentives to set up. So, I mean, the trick with his company is he does have revolutionary technology and that he's been able to figure out how to make these little LED lights with using silicon, which is a commodity, rather than sapphire, which are more expensive. So that's something that's never been done before. So here is coming out of China this revolutionary technology now. As he goes into commercial production, we'll see how well it can scale from the lab to the factory. But the signs are that it's going to work, and this product is actually rolling off the assembly line now. So it's happening now.
Oh, my goodness. Now, he's got an LED bulb that uses half of the electricity that a normal bulb would use, And you said it shines for a far longer time, even years, before it burns out. But the drawback was the price on this LED bulb. It was $65 at the time that you wrote this. Has it come down in price?
Well, as this technology enters the marketplace, it's bound to. And this is a real market advantage for this product, is that one of the things that held back LEDs from being used for every common household usage is that the price is too high. So if this silicon LED can work, then, and I think it can, then it can begin to replace the standard light bulb that all of us know and love. So I think LEDs are the light of the future. The only thing holding it back is in the price. So if this solves the price issue, then eureka.
You said your dad, who was a professor of history at Ohio University, told you that whoever would invent a long-lasting, cool electric light bulb, they'd end up being a millionaire. Well, I would say it's probably going to be like a billionaire plus because of the global opportunity for this for people all over the world, and everybody's concerned about energy consumption. So this is something that can really be a phenomenal milestone. How do you compare China, where it is right now, with what was the Industrial Revolution after World War II for the United States?
Right. Well, people do compare what's happening now in China to what the U.S. went through at the turn of this century. They also compare it to the Silicon Valley that emerged 30 years ago that created all of these companies that we know, like Oracle and Intel and Hewlett Packard and Yahoo. So what happened in Silicon Valley 25 years ago is now being replicated in China. And the force of this has been compared to what the railroad did for the U.S. The Internet is now doing for China. So, and it is rather unstoppable. So it's managed to turn out all these new products over the last, it really just started in 1999. So this is a brand new happening.
Well, they are really copycatting the U.S. on so many levels, and I can't blame them. When you see success, why not? I mean, this is something we Americans have been able to do for a long time, and why shouldn't the Chinese, now that their economy is becoming so much stronger? You have a young man in here who, his name is Zhang, and you say ChinaCars.com, cruising with styles, and he copied AAA.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, I thought it was rather amusing the way that you could create a whole new business sector out of the AAA model that we have in the U.S., but that's what he did, and his, it's called China Cars Club, so it's CCC, that's fairly close to our AAA, Triple C, and it's an all-in-one car service model, and developed over the Internet. It's also delivered offline as well, but there's some of the old technology coexisting with the new technology. For instance, in Beijing, if you have your car break down, they don't send a truck out to help you out. They send people on bicycles to come and rescue you.
Bicycles?
Yeah. So,
well, I imagine with the traffic congestion, they'd have to, because it's just wall-to-wall cars.
Yeah, that's their selling point, they can reach an emergency situation much faster on a bicycle than they could with a car, because the highways are now so clogged in these major cities like Beijing and Shanghai that he's right. It is faster to travel by bicycle.
And the timing for doing this, according to what you wrote in your book, is that this is just the perfect time for him, or was the perfect time when he opened this up, because people are wanting automobiles. And in China, it has been growing by 36 plus percent a year. People are buying. And you wouldn't think there'd be that many people that have money for automobiles, but there's already over 30 million, and everyone that possibly can is going to want to get one, just like here in the U.S.
Well, that's right, and it is still a price issue for many of them. So 30 million out of 1.3 billion is a small percentage, as China still has 800 million farmers. So it's still largely an agricultural society, but that's changing so fast. And everybody wants the gold standard. They want a car. They want to have their own car. It is just like the U.S. Hopefully they won't want to have two and three cars in the garage like we have in the U.S. But what's been amazing is I've seen this transformation firsthand. When I first started going to China, there were bicycles everywhere. And now it's cars and buses and some trucks and not nearly as many bicycles. It's really only about 10% of the total traffic now, where it used to be 90%. And this has happened in about 5 years. The scale, the pace of this is so incredible. This one phenomenon has happened in about 5 years. All the highways are really very modern in China, too. The ones that I've seen, and I've traveled outside the major Chinese cities as well, the infrastructure is excellent.
Well, they have the engineers. How many engineers are graduating from the universities there in China every year?
Well, the numbers are that it's three times the number that we have here in the U.S. And so that is one of the driving forces of this tech boom, is that you have these sheer numbers of engineers graduating every year. And they're well-trained, too. There are places that can compare with some of our top schools in the U.S., places like Tsinghua University and Peking University and Fudan University. They're churning out these high-level graduates every year. And actually, next week, I'll be in Beijing, and I'm going to be speaking at Tsinghua University in front of an MBA class, so I'll get to see this firsthand. I'm very excited about that.
Oh, I can imagine. I would like to ask you a question, because here we are in the U.S. We have seen things being exported out in the way of jobs to different countries throughout the world. What do you think that America can do to be competitive in the international market, where we can provide jobs to our people in a more effective way than what we are doing at this time?
Well, I do think that this is a wake-up call for the U.S., and I think if we do see made-in-China products becoming world-class products, that this is going to take some of the U.S. thunder away. And you've already seen this happen with the Japanese cars coming into the market in the 1970s, and everybody laughed at first at Japanese cars and said, well, they can't make good cars. Well, sure enough, they could. So now Detroit has had to face reality and realize that they're in a global marketplace where sometimes the made-in-America product is not the best product in the world. So I think this is happening now in the tech world. This is really the beginnings of this trend. Now, what the U.S. can do is continue to put resources behind basic R&D. There's been a lot of cutbacks in government spending for R&D, and this has affected our innovation that's coming out of companies, coming out of universities. The real struggle within companies is that to fund R&D is a multi-year project without an easy return. So it's difficult during downtimes to justify putting a lot more money into research and development when there isn't this immediate payback. So there has to be this recognition that, look, we're not the only major power in the world. There are others that are up and coming, and we need to pay attention to that and make sure that we remain competitive, and not only competitive, but ahead of the pack. Which the U.S. has been always, number one for many years. And I think we've gotten accustomed to that. But we
China,
travel. Yep, go ahead.
No, that's all right. I know there's a bit of a time delay with our connection. Rebecca, do you have a website that people can go to find out more about the research that you have ongoing with the technology in China?
Right. I have a website I've developed, and it's fairly comprehensive. It has a number of the investors on this website and the entrepreneurs, their contact details, along with photos and articles related to the book. Now, that website is under my name, which is RebeccaFannin.com. And I'm happy if people go on and take a look at it. It's also linked into a blog. So I have been blogging as I travel around. I've been on the road now for 3 weeks doing interviews, and I'm headed to Beijing on Sunday for about 10 days to do some work there. So I'll be blogging regularly from China, and this can be seen on my website, RebeccaFannin.com.
And, Rebecca, I want to spell your first and last name so people have it. R-E, B like boy, E-C-C-A, F like Frank, A, N like Nelly, I, N like Nelly.com. That's RebeccaFannin.com. Rebecca, I just am thrilled to be able to have the chance to talk with you. I think what you're doing is wonderful. I think it's great that you're getting information out to people. And for those of you listening, if you have an interest in what's happening in China, and Rebecca's doing an outstanding job of getting the information out to us, entrepreneurship belongs to everyone. And in China, they're having the opportunity to find it, to explore it, to live it, to demonstrate that it really works. We need to pay attention on more than one level. Rebecca, thank you so much for being my guest.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed it very much.
It's been a pleasure. And thanks for your patience with all of our challenges with the phone line.
Oh, no problem.
This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break for a moment. Again, go to RebeccaFannin.com. And she has a blog that she's updating every day. Silicon Dragon is the name of the book, How China is Winning the Tech Race. Thanks again, Rebecca. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Hello, this is Dr. Richard Petty, the author of Healing, Meaning and Purpose, and creator of the RichardGPettyND.com website. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Sebo on her show on bbsradio.com. We're going to do this every month, and I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com. and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says Glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says Glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and my goodness, it's absolutely marvelous, I think, to be able to talk to people in different parts of the world. I can remember a time where to even be able to do that, it took hours and hours and hours to do it. So even with the few complications we had, it just turned out wonderfully. Now, I do want to give you Rebecca Fasson's website again, just in case you didn't catch it. And her book is Silicon Dragon. This is very, very important information, I think, because it makes you aware of what's going on in one of the hottest spots in the world. Rebecca Fannin, RebeccaFannin.com, and she has a blog that she is putting information on a daily basis. She's been very fortunate where she's able to do ongoing interviews with people throughout Asia. And it is quite fascinating. That's a coup also, because there was a time when women would not have even been allowed to go into certain arenas of business in China. So this is just absolutely marvelous. Now, by the way, if you'd like to call in and chat with me, the telephone number to call in on is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227, Canadians 888. 815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, we have 530-876-3222. And all I need from you, if you're a first-time listener, is your first name or your initial, and then after that, then just let me do my thing, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. And I want to check something. Do we have a caller on the line?
Yes.
Oh, we do. Great. I wasn't sure. Caller, first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
My name is Stephen, and I'm from Indianapolis, Indiana.
All right. Now, Stephen, I'm looking at you, and I want to say you've got to pay attention to detail. I know it gets to be tedious, but you are working through some very significant opportunities. Now, I was going to use the word challenges, but I really think they're opportunities. And you're going to do a juggling act, keeping them all balanced. That's okay. You're going to do it well if you focus on the details. And there's something here about taking a deep breath, and you're going to feel a bit overwhelmed at times. Just try to center yourself, keep yourself focused. And though you can't handle 25 things at once, what you are focused on, give that 100% of your attention, then go to the next thing. You are developing some disciplines that I think are going to serve you very well when it comes to problem solving, because I'm seeing you in working environments, and I use the plural because I think you're going to be a type of consultant or a mediator between different businesses. So you need to be able to do a good juggling act and keeping your balance and being able to maintain such a focus that you never drop the ball. And that takes discipline. That takes practice. So I think in a way what you're going through right now is a form of practice. And you're refining your talents and your capabilities, which I think are really, really very, very good. You do need to learn how to be a better negotiator. I think anybody can improve on that. You need to be aware that this will take some practice too. So it's not just reading, but if maybe you could get into some environments where maybe people would give you the opportunity to do make-believe negotiations where there can be some play acting, if you will, with various scenarios, I think that that would serve you well. You are restructuring a thinking process in your head, and certain things have been hardwired into you, and now that's shifting. Now that's changing. It's not that what was hardwired in is all wrong. It just needs to be adapted. So you are learning, and you're growing, and this is a very intense year relative to that. So be patient with yourself. Know you're doing well, and things are going to get significantly better within the next 3 to 4 months. Do you have a question for me?
Yes. I had a work-related injury back last April, and I've been off work ever since. Things are starting to get a little better, but the doctor has put me on some permanent restrictions, and I was just wondering if I've been with the company for 19 years, and I was just wondering if I'd still be able to work with the same company with these restrictions.
Yes. Now, tell me, what were you doing with the company?
I was working with heavy equipment, different things like that.
All right. Now, have you had a chance to sit down and talk with any of the decision makers in the company relative to the situation with you?
Not actually with the company within the union I belong to, but I was notified today that Monday they're going to be talking with the head man of the human resource, because as of right now they're saying that they don't think they have a job that I would be able to do, but I know there is a few jobs there that I could do. So we're going to be, like you're talking about negotiations, we have to talk with him and try to negotiate me getting in these jobs.
All right. Now, what I would like for you to do, I don't want you to be on the defensive. In fact, I want you to do something in your head. I want you to see yourself, first of all, if you got anybody on the inside to know, tell you about the various jobs that are available, whatever they might be, then get that inside information. Then I want you to realize that this is an opportunity for you to grow and expand in an entirely different area of expertise. And it may well involve your working with computers and doing things like that. So what you are going to need to do is to make them aware that you are adaptable and that you really believe in the company and you would like for them to invest in you to adapt to a different environment within the company structure. And I'd say also tell them it's cost effective for you because you already have someone that is very familiar with the company, and if I get a chance to work in XYZ environment, what that's going to do, that's going to save you so many, you know, maybe tens of thousands of dollars on a learning curve with somebody brand new coming in.
Okay.
So I want you to be able to approach this with an understanding that you are changing your thinking relative to where you were in the positioning with the company and needing to let these people know that you're not adverse to learning new skills. What they're doing, they're compartmentalizing you. And that's not unusual. That's typically what most people do. Does that help you at all?
Yes, it did.
Good. Go for it.
All right. Thank you very much, Donna.
You are welcome, Stephen. Good luck to you.
All right.
And happy Easter.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break for a moment. When we come back, I'll take your call if you like, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Change is the name of the game, folks, and we all have to learn and grow in new ways. It never stops, contrary to what some people might like to think. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTaP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. he can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95, plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and I wanted to give you some information. First, I wanted to let you know that the Woman's Show, oh, it's getting so close now, the Pacific Northwest Women's Show is coming up a week from today, and we're going to be there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and I am so excited. It's a marvelous event to be a part of. And if you are in the Pacific Northwest, this is an event you don't want to miss because over 40,000 women come out for this very special happening that's only once a year, and we have a great time. There's all kinds of seminars. There's all kinds of products and services. It is a totally female-oriented environment. If you guys want to come out, that's great, but most guys take one look at it, get into it, and within a half hour, they're gone. They say, that's it. This is too much female power in one place. So you're not going to want to miss it. And this is being held in Seattle at the Quest Convention Center. And the hours are 10 to 6 every day. So come on out. Get your girlfriends. Carpool together. Make it just a priority for a week from today to come out and be a part of this phenomenal event. Now go to their website, NorthwestWomensShow.com. Go to their website. You'll find out all the particulars. They've got special ticket prices. All kinds of things are right there for your viewing pleasure. Maps on how to get there. Everything that you could possibly need. Now, I'm going to be there in booth number 406, and every day I will be giving a talk, and I would love to be able to meet you. Come on by. Say hello. Look for my bright yellow banner with the Donna Sebo Show in red letters and bbsradio.com right underneath. And you'll know that you've got the right place. And I'm going to be there doing many consultations, and I'll have buku books to share with you as well. So remember, the Pacific Northwest Women's Show is going to start a week from today. It's a marvelous, marvelous event. Now, I wanted to let you know who's going to be coming on with me next week, Neil Donald Walsh. Yes, you remember him from Conversations with God. Well, that very, very popular series of publications. He's now got a new one, Happier Than God. That's right. So we're going to be talking with Neil. He's been a guest on my show before. And Teresa Tapp, who is flying out from Florida to be a part of this wonderful Northwest Women's Show. She's going to be on the air with us on Tuesday, and we're going to be talking about physical fitness that is really going to make a difference in your life. I love it. When I traveled, I found I'd cracked my CD that I was taking with me so that I could keep up with the exercise program. I enjoy it so much. And by golly, I got it. They just do a wonderful job. So I'm back on track again with TTAP. So we'll be talking with her on Tuesday. Donna Hartley is going to be my guest next Wednesday. Fire up your life. This woman has an incredible story to tell and how she's overcome adversity. And her book, Fire Up Your Life, is really worth knowing about. Also, we're going to be talking about hitting your stride with Nan Russell. That's going to be next Thursday. And Nan is going to be sharing with us some insights on how you can accelerate and be more than you ever dreamed you could possibly be. And then I'm going to be at the women's show, so we're going to have a Best of Donna on Friday. It's been just absolutely awesome to be able to do this show with you every day, Monday through Friday, because it enables me to bring to the listening environment people and information that maybe you otherwise would not have an opportunity to hear. So be sure you tell your friends also when you hear a program you really like on BBS, let us know that you like it. There's a comment section that you can go to on the BBS radio website. So if you'll go there, fill out your comments. We'd really appreciate that kind of feedback. And also tell your friends. They have access to archives. That's the wonderful thing that we're able to do with today's technology. If you miss a show, you're going to be able to catch up with it at your listening pleasure and convenience, whatever time that is might be for you. I wanted to share quickly a story with this by Stephen Martile, and I really liked it because it addresses something that I think is within all of us. He said, friends, I think deep down everyone has a burning desire to be great. They want to be the very best plumber, the best carpenter, the best mechanic, the best engineer, the best mom, the best dad, whatever. They want to be the best. They want to be great. And it's part of us to be of the mindset to want more. We want to have more, not just in our own expression, but also being able to share it with other people. And that's the exciting part about life. Look at what's happening with the Chinese. They went through so much oppression for so many years, and now they're in this cycle where they're feeling like they can breathe free to a degree. Entrepreneurs are having a chance to move forward. They're not any different from us. They're just living in another part of the world. They have the same desires we've got, the same wanting for the better, the best, or the best, the better, and the best, whatever that may be. Well, Stephen got a call from a friend of his, and he said they were talking about a recent promotion that Stephen had been passed on. And he said he works full-time as a project manager, and he'd been told that he was going to receive a huge bonus for the work that he had done so well, but it didn't end up happening. And he was offered a title change, but no big promotion as far as money goes. He wasn't in the best place, and his wife, they were in conflicting schedules, and he said he wanted some changes. They, because of their working schedules, he and his wife, they didn't really have a chance to talk about his disappointment very much. But there was a very good friend of his, Jason, that he was able to get in touch with. And he was so upset, and he was just talking to Jason about, gee whiz, there might be something wrong with me. And he went on and on, and Jason heard him out. He said, you're my friend, I'm here to listen. When Stephen got through talking about all of his upset, Jason had an entirely different perspective. And he said, you know what? I want you to know something. You are so talented, you are so skilled, and you have great experience. You really can work anywhere you want. I know you are really going to do some very special, perhaps even some great things. And Stephen had noticed while he had been talking to Jason that there had been a shift inside of himself. And so after Jason said what he said to him, Stephen said, I want you to know how much I appreciate you. And he said, no, I appreciate you having the trust and confidence in me to be able to share what you feel. And Stephen said he just absolutely felt wonderful. And he said, we had been friends for years, and my friend had never said that to me. And he said, I realized what a phenomenal person my friend Jason is. And in his greatness, I realized how great I am also. And he said, if you ever forget you are who you are, stop and talk to your dearest and closest friends because they're great people, just like you are. Remember, what you associate with makes a difference. My goodness, I know we're out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Greatness is in you. You have it. It's meant to shine. It's meant to be in your own individual expression. Enjoy the journey to find it. And when you get it, when you discover it, don't be afraid to share it. It's an okay thing to do. Have a fabulous weekend. Talk to you on Monday, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.